collaborative style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The federal government has held its first public hearing on whether polar bears should be listed as an endangered species. It would be the first time the Bush administration added any animal to the list. It would also be the first animal to be listed because of climate change. A new dinosaur species has been discovered in Canada, a sort of missing link between older dinosaurs and those that roamed the Earth 10 million years ago. The Alberta Ceratops was about 20 feet long and thrived 78 million years ago. American Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson begins a three-nation tour in Asia today. He stops first in Tokyo before moving on to South Korea and China. The Detroit News reports private equity firm Blackstone is considering bidding for the Chrysler unit of Daimler Chrysler. The U.S. Commerce Secretary says this year the number of foreign tourists visiting the U.S. should exceed pre-9/11 statistics for the first time. He also announced international travelers spent a record $107.4 billion in the U.S. last year. Light sweet crude is trading at $59.50 on the New York Mercantile Exchange just now. Gold is trading at $640 an ounce, and it's an up-and-down day at Wall Street, but the blue chips are holding their own. The Dow is down just a little, off 9. NASDAQ is down 12.5 points at 23.55, and the S&P 500 is down 4, holding at 13.82. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And now from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. The Patriot Act massacre is starting to be understood by the American public. What is the Patriot Act massacre? Have you not been listening to my show? The Patriot Act massacre, of course, is the firing of U.S. prosecutors, U.S. attorneys, prosecutors who work for the Justice Department, moderate Republicans, who had the audacity to follow the law and prosecute corrupt office holders. The thing about the Jack Abramoff scandal that's so interesting is not just that it took down a number of members of Congress, but it showed the pay-to-play aspect of Congress that has so infected the Republican Party. Some Democrats, too, notably a certain William Jefferson found a number, $90,000, I think it was, in his freezer. But it's far more a Republican thing. I mean, everyone from presidential candidate John McCain, who has ties to Charles Keating, remember him, savings and loans, to all the people that run the Republican Party today. Every one of them, it seems, has ties to Jack Abramoff, or at least to someone who's been bribing them. And now the White House has decided to take its revenge. How dare a prosecutor follow the law, the White House says. Don't you know we don't give a damn about the law? This is an administration that says, you know, we don't care about the Fourth Amendment. We're going to spy on everybody. Who cares about the Constitution? Torture people? We do it every day. Hold people in trial. Hold people, excuse me, without trial, forever, in detention. We do it every day. We thumb our nose at that thing you call law. And prosecutors, you work for Attorney General Gonzalez. And Attorney General Gonzalez has insisted that you not follow the law when it comes to prosecuting Republican officeholders. So they were thrown out the door. The reason I call it the Patriot Act Massacre, there are two reasons. One is it kind of reminds me of the Saturday Night Massacre. Do you know about this? Back during the Watergate era, you had Richard Nixon, who did not want Watergate to be investigated. Now, the way the Justice Department works is that the attorneys are hired by, well, eventually the President of the United States, but there's a hierarchy, right? That you're hired by your local Justice Department. They report to the Attorney General, who is the nation's highest law enforcement official, and he, of course, is chosen by the President of the United States with the confirmation of the Senate. See, that's how the Constitution plays it out. The President gets to choose these prosecutors with the confirmation of the Senate. So the law for several decades was as follows. The president appoints someone, the Senate confirms that person serves. if the president forces that person to resign and they have to hire someone new, that new person also requires Senate confirmation. That's checks and balances. That's how our Constitution works. Well, in a little-known revision to the Patriot Act, when the Patriot Act was reauthorized, one of the last acts of the Republican Congress was to reauthorize the Patriot Act. I happen to know a lot about the Patriot Act. Those of you that are longtime listeners know I worked on the Patriot Act as a congressional attorney. I worked for the Judiciary Committee. I actually wrote 5 pages of the USA Patriot Act. No, wait, don't hang up. Don't turn off your radio dial. I wrote 5 good pages of a 200-page act that I'll be the first to admit is a lousy, awful piece of legislation. And my boss at the time, Congressman Barney Frank, voted against it. But the 5 pages I wrote actually were a very minor way to fight abuses. The Republicans whittled it down. It's a tiny part of the bill. The point is, I know a lot about the Patriot Act, having worked on it. And when it was renewed, the renewal, much like the first Patriot Act, and if you don't know this story, hey, feel free to call in. I know we have new listeners on iTunes and everywhere else. If you don't know this and you want to know the details, feel free to call in at 888-488-MARK or 877-4HEAD-ON. I'll give you the details. But basically, when the Patriot Act was first done, the hard work that I and a number of attorneys working in the House of Representatives, Democrats, Republicans, that we worked together on, the Judiciary Committee unanimously supported, that was thrown out the window, and Congress was given about an hour to look at what became the USA Patriot Act. Pretty awful name, actually. It's one of those things where Patriot, how could you vote against Patriots? I mean, it was providing adequate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism, I believe, was the acronym. But a number of brave people did vote against it. In any case, when it was renewed, they made it worse. And one of the things they did was, prior to the renewal of the Patriot Act, the way it worked was, when you had a U.S. attorney and he was appointed by the president, if the U.S. attorney, if he or she was not confirmed by the Senate after 120 days, then there was a vacancy. And the court stepped in to fill the vacancy, the third branch of government, right? If the president and the Congress can't agree on who should prosecute the nation's laws, who should enforce the laws, the courts, the third branch, stepped in temporarily until the president and the Senate could agree. Seems reasonable. That's the way the law was for decades. Well, the president didn't think it was reasonable, because this is the president, of course, who wants all power. This is a president who doesn't care about little niceties like the Constitution and search warrants and the prohibition against torture in the Eighth Amendment, the prohibition against spying on people without a warrant in the Fourth Amendment. This is a president who has said, in effect, l'État, c'est moi. The state, it's me. The famous saying of Louis the 14th, the Sun King of France. Right? This is the president who says, I'm in control here. I will not have any of these pesky checks and balances. I mean, who does James Madison think he is anyway? I am the president. So they snuck it into Congress, and I wasn't there at the time, and I like to think if I had still been there, I would have noticed it. But the Republicans were in control. They snuck it through, as usual. They gave everyone just a few minutes to look at a bill before they passed it. They never want to give you a full day to read a bill, because you might then know what's in it and vote against it. And in that bill was a provision that said that if a spot is vacant and the Attorney General appoints an interim prosecutor, that interim prosecutor lasts forever. What? Yes, yes. In the renewal to the Patriot Act, it says that if you appoint someone to fill a vacancy and the Senate says no, tough noogies, he becomes prosecutor anyway, or she does. It's kind of hard to believe. And when you think about it, remember the Ambassador Bolton, right? John Bolton was rejected by the Congress. The president appointed him in a vacancy, which he's allowed to do by the Constitution, but when the term expired, he had to go. Bye-bye. The Senate said no. Well, you would think the same would be true of these interim prosecutors. After 120 days, if the Senate says no, goodbye. Nope. They changed the law. They snuck it in. Okay, well, maybe it was, you know, just one of those ambiguities in the law. The president wanted to get more power, but you don't think he'd actually use it. You don't think he'd actually fire a slew of prosecutors just because they were going after corrupt Republican politicians, do you? Well, if you don't think so, then you really have not followed this administration very closely. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about the Patriot Act massacre, the number of prosecutors fired in California, Washington State, Arizona, Arkansas, Nevada, one after another, and of course in New Mexico, the most flagrant example, one after another, we have U.S. attorneys, moderate Republicans, prosecuted because they dared to go against Republican officials. If you want to call in and ask questions about this, feel free to do so. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is the only radio talk radio show in America, I believe, hosted by someone who actually works inside the Beltway, hosted from inside the Beltway, from somebody who knows how Washington works. You know, there are all kinds of talk show hosts out there, right-wing, left-wing, moderate, independent, spouting off, and hey, I spout off as well. But how many of them have actually worked in government and don't have a felony? I mean, you know, there is G. Gordon Liddy and Ollie North. Both of them have felonies. Okay, they're former people who worked in Congress, talk show hosts, but they got felonies. I am the only non-felonious talk show host who has had a career in Washington and can tell you how it works. That's why I bring you each and every day the Inside Scoop, all the news that the government does not want you to know, all the news from Washington, I should say, that the government doesn't want you to know. And whether you're listening on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network, whether you've come from XM Satellite Radio, whether you watch the local TV show that I have in Washington, D.C., or whether you're someone who's come here newly by iTunes, we're glad you're here. Let us know you're here. Post on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com or send me an email. You can send me an email from that site, RadioInsideScoop.com. It is the Week in Review. All topics are valid. Toll-free numbers 888-488-MARK or 877-4-HEAD-ON. But for now, we're focusing on what I have dubbed the Patriot Act massacres. The first one down was San Diego U.S. Attorney Carol Lam. Carol Lam is most famous for prosecuting Randy Cunningham, the Dukester, Duke Cunningham, the guy who you'll recall set up a price list for his bride. You know, just like, you know, you go to a massage parlor, right? You know, $50 is a half an hour, $100 for an hour, whatever it is. Well, Duke Cunningham had his price list. You want me to vote this way? You got to pay this much. You want me to vote on this bill? This much. You want me to write a letter on your behalf? This much. Pay to play. Own your own congressman. I used to be that 20 years ago, you could buy your own congressman for $1 million. Cunningham, his prices went up. Sometimes it cost $1.5 million to buy Duke Cunningham. But lobbyists understood that for the cost of $1 million, you can get $1 billion in taxpayer dollars in return. 1,000 times return on your money. Pretty good bargain, and therefore well worth bribing the Dukester. Except the Dukester had a problem. Congressman Cunningham had a prosecutor, an independent, leaning Republican prosecutor in Republican San Diego, Carol Lam, who decided that the law against bribery mattered more than the fact that, Cunningham was Republican. So, against the advice of the Justice Department, she went in there and she went after him. And she took him down. And not only did she take him down, but she took down a number of people that were connected with him. In fact, the investigation is not over. There are a number of people that are connected with him. It's not just the congressman. But the administration did not like that. I mean, she's a former judge. She's an independent. She's someone who just wasn't doing what the president wanted her to do. So he kicked her out. Next up, well, there's Bud Cummings, Little Rock, Arkansas. He had to make way for Karl Rove's person. They had to stick in Karl Rove's man. We all know that Karl Rove and Dick Cheney are the two most powerful people in the world. Little Georgie Bush does whatever the two of them say. He had to step down. And then, of course, there was Nevada's Daniel Bogdan and Arizona's Paul Charton, Seattle's John Mosby. Each of them had to step aside, all of them involved in prosecuting corrupt Republican office holders. But the most interesting case is probably New Mexico U.S. Attorney David Iglesias. He is accused not of prosecuting Republican office holders, but of not prosecuting Democratic office holders fast enough. He didn't do it before the election. Republican Heather Wilson of New Mexico, Congresswoman of New Mexico, decided to give him a call to ask him, weren't there any sealed indictments against Democratic office holders? Weren't there? Well, of course, prosecutors aren't allowed to talk about sealed indictments. But she wanted to know anyway. And he has quickly changed the subject, as he put it. So, then New Mexico Senator, another Republican, Pete Domenici, gave him a call and said, You know, those New Mexico office holders, if there's a sealed indictment, when are you going to prosecute that? Iglesias said, sir, it would be a violation of the ethics laws of Congress for you to ask me about a sealed indictment. Well, I wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't want to violate any laws. Of course, it is a violation of a law. It's a felony to disclose a sealed indictment, a grand jury indictment. I just kind of want to know when it's going to happen. Well, Iglesias said, well, nothing's happening till at least December. That is, after the election. New Mexico Senator Pete Domenici hung up on him. Now, the most interesting thing about all of this is the denials by the White House, right? Back in January 17th, when Attorney General Gonzalez, it was suggested that maybe these were political firings, that these forced resignations of U.S. attorneys were done for political reasons. He said, quote, nothing could be further from the truth. Attorney General Gonzalez said, we are fully committed to ensuring that with respect to every position, we have a Senate-confirmed, presidentially appointed U.S. attorney. We in no way politicize these decisions. In fact, the Time magazine criticized liberal bloggers for suggesting that there was some broad partisan conspiracy where none exists, for daring to suggest, quote, that independent-minded federal prosecutors are being forced out and replaced with administration toadies, unquote. And so this scandal was going to go by the wayside just like all the other scandals, right? I mean, the Abramoff scandal, the spying on Americans scandal, Scooter Libby. I mean, think of all the scandals we don't know about. I mean, you know, including the election down in Florida, where you had an extremely suspicious 100,000+ votes missing just enough to elect the Democrat, to elect the Republican, I should say, in a place where there is no paper record of ballots. So the scandal was going to go by the wayside, but, friends, we have a new Democratic Congress. You and me and our people across the United States of America who believe in the Constitution, who believe in the rule of law, who don't like pay-for-play government, we elected a Democratic Congress. And the Democratic Congress is doing something that no Republican Congress has ever dared to do. They are practicing something called oversight. Now, Republicans don't know what this word means, so let me explain. It's in the Constitution. It comes from checks and balances. It happens to be the structure of the Constitution. But Republicans believe that it is the role of the Republican Congress to rubber stamp everything the president does. To say, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir, I will go to Guantanamo Bay, sir, and I won't complain, sir, as you strap electrodes to my genitalia. That's the Republican Congress's way. Now, they practiced oversight over Bill Clinton. More than 1,000 subpoenas were issued against Bill Clinton, including such vitally important things as whether Hillary Clinton dared to change the White House travel agent. You see, trying to figure out whether the White House is firing U.S. prosecutors for not going after Republican office holders, that's not important. But trying to figure out if Hillary Clinton changed the White House travel agent, that's worthy of a congressional investigation. So this Congress didn't investigate the lies about intelligence, didn't investigate the spying on American citizens, the sending people off for torture, the holding people in prison without trial forever. No, these things aren't worthy of the Republican Congress exploring. But the Democratic Congress did something that no member of Congress has done before. They issued a subpoena to George W. Bush. Well, to the Justice Department. And they said, we want to find out from these prosecutors what happened. Ah, the power of a subpoena. Republicans complained, how dare you issue these political subpoenas? But with subpoenas came lots of talk. It is only because of these subpoenas, and all six prosecutors are appearing tomorrow. You won't want to miss this on C-SPAN. Tear away from the horn just for a little bit, just to watch some of these hearings and come right back on. Watch Carol Lamb and John Mosby and Bob Cummings and David Iglesias. And watch these prosecutors, because it's only when the prosecutors were subpoenaed under oath that the White House had to admit, oh, yeah, okay, fine, we did fire all these people for political reasons. And Pete Domenici, senator from New Mexico Republican had to admit, yeah, I did call and asked about a sealed indictment, and I know that's a felony, but he didn't tell me. And yeah, I wanted him to prosecute Democrats before the election because I wanted to help my friend Heather Wilson, the other person who called before the election, barely squeaked out a victory. I wonder if the voters would have voted for Heather Wilson, who squeaked out literally by a few hundred votes, one of those last elections told, if they'd known that she herself had tried to influence a federal prosecutor and get him to indict Democrats just to make her look good before her election. My friends, the stench grows deeper. And I'm glad to give you the inside scoop. If you want to call in, we want to hear from you. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. This is live call-in radio. Or 877-4-HEAD-ON. Either one will get you to me. You can talk about this or any other topic. Other things I want to talk about today. I want to talk about what's going on at Walter Reed Hospital. How it is the Army is trying to cover up claims of abuses there. And I also want to talk about how we are selling arms to Iran. I gave the inside scoop just a week ago on how we were selling arms to Al-Qaeda. My friends, this is not conspiracy theories. This is not 9/11 truth wacko crazy stuff. This is documented proof, my friends. We are arming Al-Qaeda and Iran at the same time as our men and women are in Iraq fighting Sunni and Shiite death squads who themselves are armed by Al-Qaeda and Iran. The perpetual war machine continues. All we have is a few liberal voices like mine out there to tell the truth to the American people. 888-488-MARK, 877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Well, let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Shelley, my latest single is called In My Time. It's all about the pressure to drink and how to handle it. Now, I'm not going to preach, but I've made my choice. I'm waiting till I'm 21, and I encourage you to stay safe and wait until the time is right for you. You can download my song and the video for free at www.inmytime.net. That's www.inmytime.net.
I'm drinking it when I choose.
This message was brought to you by the Kansas Department of Transportation. Stay safe.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The head of the FBI's San Diego office and a number of former federal prosecutors have questioned the politics behind the White House's effort to force the resignation of Carol Lam as U.S. attorney from San Diego, just as people are questioning in Arkansas, Nevada, Arizona, Seattle, Washington, across the country about the Patriot Act massacre. The top FBI official for San Diego, a man by the name of Dan, and it's hard to pronounce this name. Let's try Jawilowski. DZW. How do you pronounce DZW? I don't really know. But he's a good guy, and he's a top FBI official for San Diego, and he said, quote, "I guarantee politics is involved. Carol Lam's dismissal will jeopardize several ongoing investigations. It is a huge loss from my perspective." Former federal prosecutor from San Diego, Peter Nunez, said he was in a state of shock from hearing the news of her forced resignation. "It's like nothing I've ever seen before in 35-plus years. To be asked to resign, to be publicly humiliated by leaking this to the press, is beyond any bounds of decency and behavior. It shocks me. It really is outrageous." Another former San Diego U.S. attorney said, "In all my years in the department," this is Chris LaBella, "I never saw anything like this. The only people who know are in Washington." Well, this is Mark Levine reporting from Washington, the Inside Scoop, all the news the government doesn't want you to know, and surely the Justice Department does not want you to know why they fired all of these prosecutors. The reason, my friends, the only thing that makes all of these in common is that they were all either prosecuting Republican office holders or not prosecuting Democrats that they felt should be prosecuted. Again, the exception that proves the rule is David Iglesias, the U.S. attorney from New Mexico. He was not prosecuting Republicans, but he was questioned by both the Republican Heather Wilson, Congresswoman from New Mexico, and the Senator from New Mexico, the Republican Pete Domenici, about sealed indictments. And couldn't they just move up the prosecution a little bit quicker so that we could do it by November and really help us in the elections? Come on. You're a Republican. Play ball. Use the law to help Republicans in the elections. That's what Republicans do. Come on. Five justices of the Supreme Court didn't mind throwing out the American people's wish to elect Al Gore in 2000 to manipulate it, to claim that we'll stop counting the votes of Florida because if we count them, heck, Al Gore will win. We can't allow that. It is regular Republican practice. It's one of those things you get in those Republican meetings. Ignore the American people. Ignore the Constitution. Throw out the law. This is about rule. Rule by force. Rule by intimidation. We hate the law. So they said, David Iglesias, play ball. We expect you to use your position not as an independent prosecutor. Who have you been talking to? What books have you been reading? Don't you know that bribery is to be protected when it goes to Republican office holders? But what they didn't count on was the American people. We elected a Democratic Congress. We elected a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate. And tomorrow, that Democratic House and Democratic Senate has issued subpoenas to these six prosecutors who otherwise couldn't talk about the circumstances of their firings. And it's all coming to the fore tomorrow. And I'm going to be watching these hearings and reporting on it for you. And I hope you will do the same, because this hasn't gotten a lot of press. It really hasn't. I mean, it's a fact. You don't believe me? Go watch C-SPAN tomorrow. I mean, frankly, if you have any questions, you have any doubts, call in, let me know. 877-4HEAD-ON or 888-488-MARK. Call me, let me know if you have any questions about this. But the White House has now admitted it. In fact, it goes one step further. The person at the Justice Department who ordered the firing, a guy by the name of Michael Battle, has just resigned. He didn't explain why, but we know that he was the person in the executive office, in the justice official, guy here in Washington, who personally told each of these ousted U.S. attorneys, you got to go. You got to go. Now he says he has to pursue opportunities in the private sector. Quoting the department, this is the spokesperson for the U.S. Justice Department. Quote, Battle's departure is not connected to the U.S. attorney controversy whatsoever, unquote. Really? Is that like Attorney General Gonzalez saying that the firings of the attorney generals were not politically motivated? Really? Let the subpoenas fly. Go, Democrats. Let's subpoena Michael Battle. Let's make him tell the truth under oath. If he refuses to tell the truth, well, there's always prosecutions for perjury. You see, my friends, there is a rule of law. There is a constitution. And the system can work if the American people do what they did last fall, elect Democrats to Congress. We can actually have oversight. We can do exactly what the framers allow Congress to do, watch over the shoulder of the White House. Again, if you have any questions about this, we encourage you to call in. Toll-free number, 888-48-MARK, 877-4-HEAD-ON. I'm going to move on a bit, but I will not give up on this story. I want to talk about Walter Reed a little bit. This is another hospital, Army hospital. It's another story out of Washington where you should know by now, if you don't already, wounded veterans who've returned home from Iraq have been, well, abused. There's no other word for it. They've been brutally abused there. Everything from their rats in the hospital to contaminations. It's not the way a hospital should be run. That, to me, is not the interesting story. I mean, they're good hospitals. They're bad hospitals. I'm sorry that our Army hospital is mistreating our veterans. I'm sorry that the chief of the Army, who knew about it, did nothing about it. You would think the administration that claims to care about our men and women as they're sending them over to their deaths in Iraq would at least care about them when they come home. We certainly pretend to salute them, pretend to care. Now, that's not the interesting story. The interesting story is the gag order. You see, the people who served our country, who took a bullet for America in this misguided war in Iraq, who came home often missing an arm or a leg, had the audacity to complain about conditions in the hospital. These veterans who risked their lives for the president's policy felt that they should get decent medical care. What an awful, awful thing. So the White House acted quickly and posted a gag order. They said, you are in the military. You will follow orders. Order number one, you are not allowed to comment to the press about any horrible, degrading hospital conditions. They said, we have an investigation going on, so that's their excuse. You can't comment to the press. Now, what kind of, I don't even know what word to say. What low? What evil low? How low can you go? This man, this president, chosen by the Supreme Court to be our president over the wishes of the American people, overriding them. This man, chosen to be our president by the Supreme Court, a man who himself violated direct Army orders to show up for a medical exam because he was high on cocaine. This man who refused his draft orders, who refused to show up, who went AWOL, who went absent without leave, is saying to American veterans who have risked their lives, who have been shot, pursuing a war that no one knows what we're fighting for. I mean, I can tell you we're fighting for oil, but that's not what the president says. The president can't articulate a reason. They come home. They're brutally mistreated. And instead of the president apologizing, begging their forgiveness, ensuring that conditions were better, he says, how dare you talk to the press? What do you think this is, America, where you can complain publicly about conditions? Well, I'd like to see the president try to court-martial that first hero that complains that he's not getting appropriate medical care. We'll see whose side the American people are on. Toll-free, 877-4-HEAD-ON or 888- 8488 Mark. We want to hear from you. If you like what we're doing, go to the website, radioinsidescoop.com. Post your comments on the blog. Email me privately. Welcome to the Horn. If you're new, if you're a longtime listener, we have a lot more of the Week in Review coming up right after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing what I have dubbed the Patriot Act Massacre, and you should know about it. The press, to me, has not reported this very much. They don't seem to want to focus on when the it's very much similar to Watergate. I mean, here you had, in Watergate, you had people break into the Watergate Hotel to discover Democratic plans and the president covering it up. Here you have Republican prosecutors, moderate Republican prosecutors, who are being fired for prosecuting Republican officials. I mean, this isn't a break-in. This is bribery. This is hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars being traded for favors. And the prosecutors prosecute it because, you know what, bribery is still against the law. And the White House forces them out. The Democrats, I'm proud to say, are taking a very strong stand against this. They have sent subpoenas also to Attorney General Gonzalez. Attorney General Gonzalez has said, quote, "I think the American people lose if I spend all my time worrying about congressional requests for information, if I spend all my time responding to subpoenas," unquote. This is according to Robert Novak, right-wing journalist par excellence, right? And Gonzalez has said he's too busy to answer the questions from the Democratic congressional leaders about firing these seven U.S. attorneys. He's too busy. Rahm Emanuel asked Gonzalez a very good letter. He said, "Why don't you name Carol Lamb? You know that U.S. attorney in San Diego, that independent that went after Cunningham that you fired? Why shouldn't she be an outside counsel to continue her pursuit of the Duke Cunningham case?" Well, Gonzalez is too busy to respond. But Richard Hertling, the acting Justice Department lobbyist, responded 22 days after Emanuel's letter, according to Bob Novak. Quote, "The Justice Department would not ever seek the resignation of a U.S. attorney if doing so would jeopardize a public corruption case," unquote, he said, after saying he would not appoint Carol Lamb to be special prosecutor. Well, I can't exactly say I'm surprised, right? They don't want anyone to actually find out what they're doing. But this is par for the course, right? This is how it works with our government. And I'm not letting this story go, and I don't want any of you to let it go either, as the jury stays out in the Libby case, has not come back. We talked earlier on about the jury selection, how the defense insisted that no one sit on this jury unless they believe everything Dick Cheney says. Well, what person in their right mind can believe everything that Dick Cheney says? What person in their right mind can believe anything that our vice president says, who's been shown to be a liar again and 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 again? So they went to D.C., a city, by the way, that is at least 65, maybe 70% African-American, and they got rid of most African-Americans, who are mostly Democrats, of course. This, after all, is a city, the District of Columbia, that voted 90% for John Kerry, 9% for George Bush. He didn't even break double digits. So they had to go and get another jury pool because the defense knocked person after person. They would bring them up, and they would say, if Dick Cheney came on the stand and testified, would you believe him? And the person said, well, given Dick Cheney's history of lying, no. And they said, next juror, next juror, next juror, next juror. And on and on and on, till they had to bring in a couple hundred more. It's hard to find Republicans in this city. But who's going to believe Dick Cheney? What honest person, and I'm not just talking about Democrats, I'm talking about independents too, or even moderate Republicans, what person in their right mind could believe Dick Cheney? Of course, Dick Cheney did not testify. After all the denials, saying, I can't talk on the talk shows, I can't tell you what happened because I'm a witness, he wasn't called as a witness. He wasn't called as a witness at all. The defense, he was on the defense's list, and the defense never intended to call him because then he would be prosecuted for perjury himself. No, it was all just a ruse in order to infect the jury pool, and apparently we got one or so holding out, some Republican who cares more about his party than he does about his country, and I fear a hung jury. Meanwhile, the perpetual war continues. George Orwell would have a field day with our being attacked by one country and then attacking another. Perpetual war continues, and of course, the war is no longer against Saddam Hussein. He's dead. The war against Al-Qaeda is pretty much stopped. I mean, we're not doing much in Afghanistan or Pakistan, except slowly giving it back to the Taliban. No, the war in Iraq is between the Shiite and the Sunni Muslims. And we sit in the middle, on the line, as they fire each other, as they bomb each other. The Sunnis are supported by none other than Al-Qaeda. Remember Al-Qaeda? You know, the terrorist group that murdered 3,000 Americans on September 11, 2001, headed by a certain Osama bin Laden living fat and happy somewhere in Pakistan? Well, they weren't in Iraq before September 11th. That was one of Cheney's lies. They had no connection to Saddam Hussein. They had more connections to the United States than they had to Iraq because Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden were bitter enemies. They were rivals. Saddam Hussein was a secular dictator. Osama bin Laden had pretenses of being a religious dictator. They were against each other. But now that we've gone to Iraq, we have taken a country that is not allied with al-Qaeda and allowed al-Qaeda in, and they are fighting for the Sunnis. Fighting for the Shiites is no less disreputable people. They include Muqtada al-Sadr, who killed so many Americans, and has Shiite death squads going around murdering Sunnis. They also include the good old president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, the same man who not only denies the Holocaust ever happened, he has great forums on it in Iran, where he invites Ku Klux Klan leaders and a few other American crazies and crazies from around the world to not only deny that the Holocaust happened, that a third of all Jews worldwide were murdered and another 6 million non-Jews were killed, not only to deny that it happened, but to offer to do it again, to obliterate Israel, to wipe it off the map, to kill another 6 million Jews, and you know, not to mention a million or so Arabs and so forth. I mean, the Palestinians, if Israel's nuked, I'm sorry, Palestinians, you're not going to get a state either. So he denies the first one happened. He advocates for a second one, and he supports the Shiites in Iran, in Iraq, in Iran too. So in Iraq, we have basically al-Qaeda, the murderous thugs of 9/11, going after Iran, the country that at least its leadership, not its people, because I think its people generally don't like its leadership, but its leadership wants another Holocaust. Nice people. Both sides. Nice people. And what are we doing? Are we staying out of it, letting our enemy fight our enemy? Oh, no. We're arming both. Last week I reported how we were arming al-Qaeda. It seems in fighting Iran and its terrorist group, Hezbollah, in Lebanon, we are arming Sunni terrorists with connections to al-Qaeda. We're giving them money. Your taxpayer dollars are going to Osama bin Laden, or people who are connected with him. Now, we ostensibly went to war in Iraq to fight al-Qaeda, and now we're arming them? Not to be outdone, another part of our government is arming Iran. Isn't that nice? You see, there are these F-14 fighter jets, American fighter jets, that we sold back to Iran. I guess it was back when the Shah was in control. And they have spare parts. Now, we no longer use the F-14. We have supposedly better fighter jets now, but the Iranian Air Force does. In fact, they're the only air force in the world that still uses the F-14. And we are selling their parts. Spare parts! We may be going to war with Iran, but we are selling the Iranian government spare parts. And we do it through middlemen. We don't sell them directly. We sell them to arms dealers who then sell it to Iran. But we know that it's the only country on earth that's still using this plane. And now, I know we want to get money for the defense industry. I understand that. But we're selling arms to Iran, and we're selling arms to al-Qaeda. And this administration is complaining that Democrats are soft on terrorism? Well, here's an idea, Mr. President. If you want to fight terrorism, first step, stop arming the terrorists. It really doesn't seem that complicated to me, Mr. President. Don't arm them. Don't give them any money. Don't give them any aid. Yes, I realize Iran is awful. Yes, I realize al-Qaeda is awful. Yes, I realize that they're fighting each other. Why are we in the middle again? Why are we trying to stop this fight? If our enemy is out to kill our enemy, shouldn't they just kill each other? I mean, I feel sorry, no question, for the Iraqi people. That's why I've advocated for a long time an independent Kurdish state up north, so that there'd be some place for the people who wanted Saddam Hussein gone, who don't support the radical death squads, decent Iraqi people to go to. But the rest of the country, look, you know, yeah, we made a mess of it. Yeah, I feel bad about it, but all we're doing is making things worse. We're throwing gasoline on the fire. And if you don't know about this, or you don't believe me, you don't trust me, look it up. Google it. Write questions on the blog. Call in. This is your show as well. And I want to thank you for listening. Tomorrow we got a very interesting show. It's alternatives to oil. The main reason, I'm convinced, why we're in Iraq, of course, is for oil. You get very, very cheap energy. But there are other ways to have energy. Biofuels, things like corn and switchgrass and ethanol and sugarcane can be used. And tomorrow I've got someone, an inventor, who actually designs engines, and a politician who's working to help this happen, and a farmer, a Virginia farmer, who is growing switchgrass and is starting a collective of farmers to advocate for allowing switchgrass, basically a weed, and his name is Al Weed, but basically allowing a weed to be used to make our cars go. It's amazing. The technology is out there, but the government doesn't want it to happen. So tune in tomorrow. You won't want to miss out on the Inside Scoop right here on the Horn at 2 o'clock. Again, whether you're listening on iTunes, the Head On Radio Network, watching on TV, listening on XM, we're glad you're here. My website is radioinsidescoop.com. Send us an email. Let us know you're here. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. Congressional hearings are underway regarding the deplorable conditions at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. The former facility commander, who only held the post for 7 months, is testifying, along with soldiers and their families. Congress wants quick action and is also wondering if the second-rate conditions exist throughout the military health care system. President Hamid Karzai condemned U.S. troops for killing 10 civilians in northern Afghanistan today. U.S. pilots leveled their house after a NATO reconstruction team came under attack. Yesterday, U.S. and Iraqi troops launched the largest weapons sweep in Baghdad since the security surge began 3 weeks ago. They met no resistance in Sadr City. However, in Baghdad this morning, a suicide car bomber shattered a relative lull, killing more than 30. The death toll continues to mount. Al-Qaeda posted the execution of 15 Iraqi policemen over the weekend, the ones kidnapped last week to avenge the alleged rapes of Sunni women by security forces. Al-Qaeda also vowed to kill or capture Britain's Prince Harry when he is deployed to Iraq. He's scheduled to arrive in May. Landmark U.S.-North Korea talks on normalizing relations are to get underway at a dinner in New York tonight. The U.S. cautions it's only a small first step. Pyongyang has pledged to scrap its nuclear arms program for aid. The UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency is meeting in Vienna today. They're discussing Iran's refusal to abandon its uranium enrichment program. Hamas fighters have engaged in a gun battle with security officers in the worst outbreak of internal violence since rival Palestinian factions agreed to form a unity government last month. A senior Ethiopian official blamed last week's kidnapping of two groups of foreign eco-tourists on soldiers from Eritrea, the area bordering the Red Sea in northern Ethiopia. Their destroyed vehicles were found over the weekend. Britain has voiced alarm over the fate of the abductees, who are embassy staffers, and has crack troops on the standby in the region ready to release them. The white supremacist gang Public Enemy Number 1, which originated in Long Beach, California, is forging an alliance with the Aryan Brotherhood. Police say the gang's 400 members have compiled a hit list targeting 5 officers and a gang prosecutor, showing just how brazen the Public Enemy has become. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business and science are next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune in to America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
The federal government has held its first public hearing on whether polar bears should be listed as an endangered species. It would be the first time the Bush administration added any animal to the list. It would also be the first animal to be listed because of climate change. Wednesday in Monterey, California, the annual TED Conference will host 1,200 of some of the world's most wealthy and famous scientists, entrepreneurs, and social activists. Compared to the Davos, Switzerland Economic Summit, the three-day TED gathering is a combination seminar, think tank, and visionary revival meeting. Fortune's annual ranking of the top 20 companies in America is in, and based on the results of an executive survey, the top three are GE, Starbucks, and Toyota. Silicon Valley companies Apple and Google ranked 7th and 8th. The U.S. Commerce Secretary says this year the number of foreign tourists visiting the U.S. should exceed pre-9/11 statistics for the first time. He also announced international travelers spent a record $107.4 billion in the U.S. last year. Light sweet crude is trading at $60 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange, and gold is trading at $639 an ounce. That's down $4.70. It's very up and down on Wall Street right now. The Dow is up 21 points at 12,146. NASDAQ is off 8.5. S&P 500 is down 1.75. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Welcome to Dialogue, to Conversation.